Amen. Amen. Good morning, Good Hope. My name is Minister Chris Johnson. I have the honor and privilege of serving here at Good Hope as our missions director and our outreach director. And I'm just so happy to be able to come worship with you all on this morning. I know a lot of y'all have been asking, where's Chris? Where's Chris? Well, I'm in the other building keeping my black job. Yeah, I'm over there keeping my black job. But no, it's always a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord with God's people one more time. I would be remiss if I did not thank the overseer, the under-shepherd of this house, our senior pastor. Yeah, you can go and say woo. Yeah. The best pastor this side of the Pecos, our pastor. Give it up for Dr. DZ Cofield and First Lady Tori Cofield. Now, come on, we can do a little bit better than that. We can do, yeah. I am so grateful to them just for this opportunity to stand in his stead. And so let's get into our word today. I promise we will be efficient. We will be effective. We will be equipping, but we will not be eternal. Amen. 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 Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you now for this day and we bless your name. God, we pray that as the word goes forth, your presence would continue to radiate throughout this place. God, we pray that minds, hearts, and ears would be opened. We pray that your word would take root, that it would germinate, that seed would be planted, God, that would produce the type of fruit that you would want to see in our lives. God, we thank you for just an opportunity just to praise and worship you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Like most children, at the age of 7, any invitation would cause a crisis for me. I oftentimes would get invitations from childhood friends and neighborhood friends, and they would always invite me to come to either some type of event they had or a birthday party. And because of my anxiety or my excitement about getting there, it wouldn't be a crisis of belief, but it would be a crisis of anticipation. Now, I don't know how many of you all have children, but you know, when you tell your children that they've been invited somewhere, they're looking forward to it. They're looking expectantly to it. They're going to make sure that you remember that they got that invitation. One day, I went to school and was there at school and was talking to my then teacher. And my teacher walked in and she said, class, we have a surprise for you. And we want the entire school to gather so that we can talk to you about this surprise. Now, at that time, I was, of course, in kindergarten, as I mentioned earlier, and I attended a private school called Houston Preparatory. I don't know if any of you all are familiar with Houston Preparatory, but this was a small African-American private school right on Louisiana Street, and the principal was a man named Fred Hampton. And Mr. Fred Hampton walked into the room and gathered all of the students around. It was about 60 or 70 of us. And Mr. Fred Hampton said, guys, brothers, sisters, students, we have an announcement. I got a real big surprise for you. And we're huddled up and we're waiting to hear what Mr. Hampton has to say because we want to know what's this big surprise. And then Mr. Hampton says, guys, I just got off the phone. Michael Jackson wants to come to the school. Oh. Now, this is in 1993, Michael Jackson. This is 1988, 1989, Michael Jackson. This is still brown Michael Jackson. This is curl, still curling Michael Jackson. This is Thriller Michael Jackson. This is Dirty Diana Michael Jackson. This is Glitter Glove Michael Jackson. Bubbles Michael Jackson. And so when we find out that we had a visit from Michael Jackson, man, we were excited. And so the school wanted to put together a presentation to show our appreciation that Michael Jackson actually found out about this little black private school and wanted to come perform. Now, we started practicing for this visitation. We started putting together a whole routine. And while we were doing all of that, you know, kids talk. And the first thing we were saying to each other is, man, they don't know Michael Jackson. Man, Mr. Hampson, I heard he's just having us do this for his mama. Because we got a crisis of belief going on, because Michael Jackson is this huge figure that you see on television, and Mr. Hampton is telling us that he's going to come to our school. A crisis of belief. Now, I use that story tongue-in-cheek as an illustration, because for some of us that may best encapsulate or may best describe some of the journey that we're going on in our own relationship with God. God is this huge figure in our life. We are familiar with him. He is involved in our day-to-day. Yet when he gives us an invitation into his work, whether it is in our personal lives, whether it is in this world today, whether it is through the church, it causes a crisis of belief. As we study our experience God here at the church, one of the questions that we're asking in our groups is, are you currently experiencing a crisis of belief? If so, what is God asking you to do? And not only what is God asking you to do, the more important question is, what's keeping you from doing it? Brothers and sisters, I'll be honest, as we were getting ready for this message, we had to do some soul searching of our own, because one of the things we realize is that the invitation that God gives us oftentimes doesn't just stop at one thing. He's constantly pushing us, trying to prune us, sharpen us, prepare us to get us to where he will want us to be. For a few brief moments, I'd like to speak to you from the thought of how to accept God's invitation by faith. How to accept God's invitation by faith. Our text today is coming from Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Your outline says Hebrews 11:6, but we're going to start at the first verse and selected scriptures. Remember, we're talking about how to accept God's invitation by faith. If you're going to accept God's invitation by faith, you must realize that your encounter with God will require your faith. You must realize that your encounter with God will require your faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1 reads, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." The writer of Hebrews posits that the faith that he is talking about is not a faith that would be immediately tangible to the reader. Oftentimes, when we think of faith, we think of something that we can put our hands on. We think of an object. We think of a destination. But the writer of Hebrews gives us a clearer understanding that says that faith is not something that is in substance. It's something that is in belief. And he starts off the verse and he says, "Now faith." This summary statement, this declarative statement that says faith is not what ends our journey, it what begins our journey. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Look at what the text says. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for the convictions of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. When we talk about what we need to do to accept God's invitation by faith, the first thing you must do is you must trust God and his plan completely. You must trust God and his plan completely. When the writer of Hebrews says, for it by men of old gained approval, he was talking about the Old Testament prophets. When we look at Hebrews verses 2, 3, and 4, we see the writer of Hebrews giving a clear understanding about not only what faith is, but where faith is derived from. You must trust God and his plan completely. Those men of old were approved by God because their approval came not from men, but their approval came from their understanding of revelation. The writer of Hebrews says that because these men had an understanding of God's word and a trust in God's word and a dependence in God's word, and because God's word then became their worldview, because God's word became their guiding light, because God's word became their GPS, they were now able to be approved of by God himself, because their very witness was not the fact that they saw something. Their very witness was the fact that they had received God's revelation themselves. The writer lets us know that there's a connection between faith and revelation. There's a connection between faith and hearing. But not only must you trust God and his plan, look at the B part. You must utilize God's word as revelation for your life. You must utilize God's word as revelation for your life. Verse 2 says, for it by the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand, verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. When you talk about accepting God's invitation into his word, you have to take God's word completely at face value. You have to understand that God's word is not the secondary source. It's not the third source. It's not a fourth source. It is the main source from which we find our wisdom from. You must utilize God's word as revelation for your life. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. The writer uses for the word world instead of cosmos. He uses another world that indicates that what he's talking about is not the physical world, but he understands by faith that the ages, that the dispensations, that the eras, that the systems and the structures of the universe were not created by man, but they were created by God himself. And because they have that understanding from revelation, they have clear sight. When we talk about our faith journey with God, the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. But how can we please God if we don't know what his word says? How can we please God if we don't spend time with him in his word? How can we please God if we don't even believe what his word says? In verse 3, some people say that they would see a creation narrative in verse 3 because they're talking about by faith that we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. Some scientists believe that the world was created out of Big Bang theory. Others believe we evolved from apes and primates and animals and matter. And while I don't agree or disagree with whatever your position is, my position is clear. That I utilize God's word in my life and I stand on that. Your faith journey is innately connected with the revelation that God gives you. That revelation sets the believer apart from the common man. He, she, they now have a manuscript. They now have a playbook. They now have a guide that is eternal in substance, but is far-reaching in life. The word of God is an inexhaustible well, and what you pull out of it is based not only on your capacity, but it's also based on the time that you spend with him. And when you trust God and you use his word as revelation for your life, you're well on your way to being able to accept his invitation by faith. Remember, we're talking about how to accept God's invitation by faith. We're talking about how to accept God's invitation by faith. You must realize that your experience with God will require your faith. That's number one. But number two, you must realize that faith and obedience to God will prepare you for God-sized assignments. You must realize that faith and obedience to God will prepare you for God-sized assignments. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." The writer of Hebrews says that money is not the ingredient that will please God. Church attendance is not the ingredient that will please God. Flattery and simony is not what pleases God. But the Bible says that what pleases God is faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Not only is it impossible to please him, you also have to come to him with it and believe that he is. Look at what Hebrews 11:7 says. Let's read it together. "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Noah was almost 600 years old by the time the ark was completed and ready to go. And the Bible says that it was 120 years from the time that God gave him the command to build the ark from the time that the flood came. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if you have some nosy neighbors and they're around 120 years and they watching you build an ark in your backyard, you know what they're going to say. But here's what sets Noah apart. By faith. Notice the relationship between faith and obedience. Noah has faith. His faith, his trust in God, causes him not only to believe God, but to move on his promises. When you're in a relationship that you trust someone in and they give you their word, you move on that. I have a friend named Carl, and every now and then he'll come and borrow $5, $10, $20 from me. And I say, "Carl, you know, if you didn't pay me back, man, I wouldn't even move for you." But it's because we have a trust with one another. And Carl knows that I'm going to be coming right back to him a day or two later, probably asking to borrow the same of 5-10 back. But there's a trust there. When you trust God, you're obedient to his word. Not only was Noah obedient, but so was Abram. Look at what Genesis 12:1 says. Now the Lord says to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation and bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. Exodus 3:1. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Whether we're talking about Noah, whether we're talking about Abraham, whether we're talking about Moses, we have to realize and understand that our connection between faith and obedience to God prepares us for God-sized assignments. Abraham was in a foreign land, removed from his family, following the promise of God, all because of his faith and his obedience. Moses, removed from Pharaoh's house, a fugitive on the run, finds himself in the desert, shepherding sheep, out there minding his own business. And as he's in the desert, he sees a burning bush, and a talking bush tells him that he's on holy land, and because of his faith in God, he obeys. Don't ever despite what God will use to get your attention, to get your faith, and get your obedience. For Moses, it was a burning bush. For us, it may be a Donald Trump. Whatever God uses, it's faith and obedience that connects us to what he's doing. Remember, we're talking about how to accept God's invitation by faith. We're talking about how to accept God's invitation by faith. The first thing you must realize is that your experience with God will require your faith. Your experience with God will require your faith. The second thing you must realize is that faith and obedience to God will prepare you for God-sized assignments. But the third thing you must realize is that all it takes is faith and action for you to experience God. All it takes is faith and action for you to experience God. Hebrews 11:8 reads, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. All it takes for us to lay a hold of the promises of God is faith and obedience. Faith and participation. Faith and action. Doesn't require any Crisco oil. You don't have to pay your way into heaven. You don't have to come with any deep or big theological terms. You can come to church just as you are. You can even get up here and preach in some Jordans. Whatever it is, all it takes is faith and action like Abraham, someone in here is at the precipice. God is calling you from a place that may be familiar to you to a place that may be unfamiliar to you. And while you're sitting on your laurels and you're waiting on God, God is waiting on you. So many times we play a spiritual waiting game with God, and all it takes to activate God in our lives is faith and action. Faith and action. When Abraham put faith and action together, the Bible says that God told him that all the nations would be blessed. His faith and action led to salvation and deliverance. The work that God is doing in the world today, but specifically here at Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church, is because of faith and action. God, we believe what your word says about being a great commandment church. God, we believe what your word says about being salt and light. God, we believe what you said about serving others. God, we believe what you're saying about treating people with decency and respect. God, we believe what you're saying about putting Christ first and family first. And so now, God, all we need to meet you now is with faith and action, undergirded by obedience. Because when you combine faith with action and you undergird it with obedience, you now have prepared yourself and positioned yourself to be in a position to accept God's invitation by faith to do a God-sized work to build his kingdom for his glory. Let us pray. God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for yet again another reminder that anything that we do with you, in you, through you is by faith. God, we don't have the capacity, we don't have the facilities, we don't have the wherewithal, we don't even have the willingness. But what we do have is you. God, we want to pray right now that we would be released on levels in terms of our faith. For the person who is struggling to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God, we pray that you would increase their faith in terms of a salvific faith. God, for the believer who has committed to a life in you but finds themselves struggling, God, we want to pray for a strengthening of their personal faith. God, for the seasoned saint and the very secure saint, we want to pray for their abiding faith. And God, for all of your people, for your church, we want to pray for your covering faith. God, we pray that you will release your spirit in this place now and give someone the courage, give someone the inspiration, give someone the nudge, the hope, that faith combined with action will lead them to deliverance and fulfillment in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody who can and everyone who is able and will you please stand? You know, earlier I started off with a story about my childhood and Michael Jackson, but I never finished that story. Well, as it went, the kid's hunch was right. Michael Jackson didn't show up to the school on Friday. But what he did do is he sent 8 limousines that Sunday to the school and took us to the bad tour at the then summit in 1989. Now I'm gonna tell you why this. I'm gonna tie this in. That crisis of belief we were having, it was all based on the fact that we didn't really have assurance. Let me make it plain. Somebody in here, you're having a crisis of belief you don't even have to have. Now, faith is the substance of things. You have assurance. And just like that entertainer sent a limousine to 40 or 50 black kids in Houston, God wants to send a spiritual limousine to you right now. He wants to ride you on in the glory. He wants to clean you up, revitalize you, reinvigorate you. So as the praise team sings, we want to open the doors to a relationship with a God who loves you, a God who sees you, a God who wants to grow with you and love you and develop you. Doors of the church are open.